Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Leadership is hard. It really is. Hi, I'm Ben, and you're listening to Faith Radio, Afternoons with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio. Leadership is hard, and God has called us all to be leaders. Whether it's in a corner office, in a big skyrise building, in a big metropolitan area, or whether it's leading in a different area, whether it's in your friend group, your small group, your church, your family, with your kids, God has called us all to be leaders. So how do we do it effectively? How do we follow that call and do it well as we point people to Jesus? Dr. Paula Maddox is our guest this afternoon. She has written a book. It's called Think Globally, Lead Strategically, A Christian Guide to Building Effective Leaders. Dr. Maddox, welcome to Faith Radio.
Thank you so much, Ben. It's my pleasure to be here.
So right off the bat, what's the difference between, and I think I know the answer, but I want to hear it from you. What's the difference in this book? The fact that you said a Christian guide to building effective leaders, which is what piqued our interest. Why is that so important?
That is a great question, Ben. It is so important because what I am seeing is a huge surge in my clientele, my coaching clientele, of leaders who want to bring their faith to the office. And traditionally and historically, we've been told about the separation of church and state and things of this nature, but our faith is embedded in our core values, and we bring our whole person everywhere that we go. So they wanted to know, okay, how do I have this belief system that's embedded in the scriptures and bring it into how I lead others and how I lead myself? So God really inspired me to write this book based on the common topics that come up globally from leaders who want to lead more effectively and then grow and also develop other leaders.
So what do you say to those people that say they want to bring their faith into their leadership and you know, or they share with you that it's a tough culture to do?
It truly is. So at least I used to think that was really tough. But what I'm understanding and what I have become to learn is not as difficult as we make it. We know how to live righteously. We know right from wrong. We know when the Holy Spirit stirs us up. We should be making those type of decisions. We should be bringing that to the forefront as we are leading other people, as we're making recommendations, as we are really pumping up our innovative thinking, our creative thinking, because we know where all creation comes from. We know those ideas are seeds from the heavenlies. So we bring that to the forefront. We're no longer silent. We bring all of who we are to the forefront so other people can see and emulate what we are doing. And also bringing that compassion and that patience and that growth mindset to show and display to the organization is really a benefit to the organization and others around us.
Amen. Having the fruit of the Spirit, really. And we were talking yesterday afternoon with Pastor David Miles, who's a regular guest here on Faith Radio. And he said he is a leader and he's a speaker. And both Wyatt and I have been in situations before where it isn't necessarily a Christian situation, but people come up to us. And we were just talking about how it's such a great compliment to go, hey, I can tell you're a Christian. And it's because the fruit of the Spirit, you can't contain it in how you serve and encourage other people.
Absolutely. That light will shine. And I'm encouraging other leaders to not to diffuse that light. Do not put a lampshade over yourself. Let that light shine. If others have a problem, just recommend that they get some really good sunglasses for a moment until they get accustomed to that light and be drawn to
it. It's funny you mention that because I had an opportunity to speak to a Christian leader and that's what they said. That's really what they said. I said, you're an amazing leader. I said, what do you do? And their answer was this. My prayer is that people have to wear sunglasses. They're blinded by Jesus that is exuding out of me.
Absolutely. We're there to illuminate these places. Sometimes, even in my experience, I would question. I'm like, okay, Father, why are you setting me over there to, accept a position in one place or another? He said, I need you to be the illumination. You may be the only light that they see. I need you over there.
Dr. Paula Maddox is our guest on Faith Radio. This book is called Think Globally, Lead Strategically, A Christian Guide to Leading with Purpose. And this impacts people, whether you're in a C-suite or a corner office where it's all windows and you're overlooking massive skyscrapers, or in your own family with your own friend group. This is all very important, and it doesn't matter which position you're in. We're called to think globally and lead strategically in whatever situation God has put us in.
Absolutely. You really touched on something important. I just had a conversation with a client yesterday, and she was questioning whether or not, this is what God had called her to do, and how, even if he did, how should she do it? So we unpacked it, and I got her to understand, okay, this is not just for you. Whatever God in, places within us, he's putting these gifts within us so that we can share them with the world. She can then share it with her children. She can then show them how to walk in faith with God. All of these are faith walks. These chaotic moments, these are faith walks. These are our private field trips with the Lord. And what, how, I mean, it's up to us how we want to experience this. Do we want to gain all that we can from this? Let him enrich us. Let him pour into us so that we can grow and do even more for the kingdom.
Right. I love what you say there, Dr. Maddox. It's not just about keeping pace with the rapid changes in our environment, but more so about influencing the changes and shaping the future in a way that aligns with our values and our purpose. So how do we do that? What are some steps that we can take to do that in our spheres of influence?
That's a great question. We can do that by, first of all, speaking up, sharing those ideas that God is giving us. Share those recommendations, knowing that, okay, there is no surefire way unless you're getting it from the Holy Spirit. Pray before you go into the offices. I can't tell you how many times I've had to anoint the conference rooms, had to anoint my office. I'm surprised they were able to even open my office door sometimes. There'd be so much anointing oil on the doorknob. So we pray before we go into these meetings and these even any conversation, so that you're bringing the Holy Spirit with you to guide you through that conversation, no matter what's being discussed. That's the way we show up, through the communication, through the decision making, through just listening. Sometimes people just need for us to listen. And then as we are listening, God shows us how to identify the gaps of what they're struggling with. And he also shows us how to fill those gaps with his word. And just through righteous acts and actions, so that they know, okay, where adjustments need to be made? What do I need to change? And they will begin to see some really positive results.
Dr. Maddox, this is Wyatt, the show producer, and as I'm listening to you talk, and Ben has said it multiple times already, that you can lead in any circumstance, whether it's in your family, in the workplace. I mean, the list goes on and on. Do you think at times we have doubts about our capabilities or the gifts God has given us because the enemy wants to keep us silent and doesn't want us to lead others towards the Holy Spirit? Do you think that is something that very well happens?
It happens a lot, unfortunately, even in the C-suite clients that I coach. And a lot of this happens, and it happened to me early in my career as well. And it happened to me as well as probably other people, because I was not in the Word. When I began to go chapter by chapter from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through the end of Revelation, that is where I found myself. That is where I discovered who God created me to be. That is where I saw myself within the pages, because in who he really created me to be, he planted a seed of leadership in each and every one of us if we're made in his image. So how do we lead? How do we dominate? How do we come out here and take dominion of what he has given us to take charge of?
Dr. Maddox, it's so important to be in the Word. Wyatt and I were just talking earlier, even today, as sometimes life gets busy and you take a break from God's Word. And what a mistake that is. But that can come across very judgmental, and I don't mean it to be. It is a life-giving connection with God, his Word speaking to you. And we speak from experience in that way. And I love how you went through Genesis, through Revelation, even parts of the Bible that are really hard to get through, and you kept at it. And even some of those things where I was going through the book of Ezekiel. I was talking with Wyatt today about going, I don't understand really what's going on, but I just want God's word on my heart. I just want to hear from God. you know. And so Dr. Maddox, we're talking about this book, your new book. It's called Think Globally, Lead Strategically. It's a Christian guide to building effective leaders. And there are so many leaders out there that are in situations that maybe feel like they're overwhelmed, or maybe they feel like they're in the wrong position and they're leading people and people are depending on them. You talk about a lot in your coaching and in this book for leaders to be self-reflective and observant. What does that mean, and how do we do that?
That's a great question. We do have to be observant. By being observant, we see where some of the problems lie. By being observant, we, you know, the Holy Spirit has us to detect where the personal agendas are. What is the backstory behind some of the conversations that we are hearing and the agendas that are set forth in the missions and the organizational strategic plans? And he will go in and tell us, you know, okay, how are we to navigate through these conversations and these strategy meetings? So we need to listen. We need to listen to what people are saying and what they are not saying. We need to pay attention to their word selection. There are a plethora of words to express our feelings and our emotions. If you're using a light word, okay, you're okay. You know, you're okay with what's going on in the conversation. If you use a stronger version of the same expression, I know there's a personal agenda. There's a personal attachment. It's my job to find out what that a personal attachment is and to see if I can offer a different perspective that would allow you to detach so that you can think more objectively.
What does that mean? And how do you do that?
The listening is very paramount. You know, I think most of us have always heard our elders tell us, hey, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Right.
But listening is paramount because as we listen to people, they will unveil their plan. They will tell you exactly what they're thinking. If we allow them to speak long enough, they will unveil the strategy of what they're going after. If we really attentively listen to them, because they can get caught up in, you know, in their rhetoric, in their narrative. And as you continue to listen, these things will come up and come out of them because that's who they are.
Dr. Maddox has written this book, and I'm grateful for the conversation. It's called Think Globally, Lead Strategically. It's a Christian guide to building effective leaders. And so as we self-reflect as leaders and we're observant and as we listen, and then we trust God to find innovative and creative solutions. And that's what we're going to talk about next. Some of those innovative and creative solutions as you think globally and lead strategically. As we follow Jesus, his example, to building more effective leadership, whether it's in our lives and our families, our friendships, our church, our work life, to be who Jesus has called us to be, to reflect him and point people to him. This is Afternoons with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio.
I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. The religious leaders expected a warrior. The disciples wanted an overthrower. The bullies wanted him to shut up. And the sinners were surprised when he stepped up. At every turn, Jesus surprised them, just as he surprises us now. Why? Because he always has the bigger story in mind. And you are a part of that story. You were the joy set before him. Connecting faith to life. Faith Radio.
Leadership is hard. I don't know how many times I've said it in the last 15 minutes. Leadership is hard. And as you listen to Faith Radio today and this conversation with Dr. Paula Maddox, who's written this book called Think Globally, Lead Strategically. It's a Christian guide to building effective leaders. My name is Ben, and you're listening to Afternoons with Bill Arnold today. We were just talking about encouraging leaders as a leader, self-reflect, be observant, whether you're leading in business, you're leading in family, you're leading in relationships or conversations that you have with people. It's really, really important to listen. And Dr. Maddox, you're also talking about taking that next step and building relationships. And during the break, you said that people don't know how to build relationships anymore. We're all in these little silos doing kind of our own thing, and there seems to be this disconnect. So how do we trust God to find innovative and creative solutions in solving problems and building relationships?
That's a great question. You know, when we think about the scriptures as an example, Jesus went about his ministry building relationships. He listened, he healed, he spent time with people. He comforted. If we don't do the same, how will we know what state of mind people are in? And I think it's even more essential today. We have multi-generational workforces. We have, we're working with colleagues around the globe. It is not a good thing to have colleagues who are, even if they're independent contractors, ICs, or whomever they may be, to sit there with headphones on, isolated in their own silos, not, you know, having conversations or communicating or collaborating with anyone. We need to speak with them. Find out what's on their minds. See what interests them. It's about, it really is about building those relationships. And while you're doing that, you're building your leadership pipelines. If no one knows who you are, and you can be the most astute expert in the company, but if no one knows you, what difference does that make? You still may end up on the chopping block because no one knows your name. They don't know who you are. You have not self-promoted. You haven't self-marketed. What?
Dr. Maddox, you talk about building relationships, and whether it's in a church situation, I could see it being in a family, but more so in like a church or a work environment. And we're called to love God and we're called to love people, but sometimes loving people can be really hard. Sometimes having conversations and connecting with people can be really hard because maybe one side or the other doesn't really want to. So as a leader, how do you continue to listen, continue to serve, continue to show up?
You know, a lot of clients ask the same question in my coaching sessions. And first of all, we have to recognize, we have to self-identify who we are as leaders, first of all. What type of leader are we? If we're the type of leader who our values are based in Christian values, then we have to recognize that it is our responsibility to make sure that we are seeing everyone and everybody in the same lens as God sees them. Not through our lens, not through our eyes, it's not through our flesh. Because if God did not see us through his eyes, then we would be in the same situation possibly. So we have to see people as God sees them. He values each and every one of us. So who are we to discard anyone or have ill feelings toward them? Because if we're all one in Jesus Christ, then okay, do I not value me? Then I have to value my neighbor. I have to value my colleague and see them with the same love that God sees the love and puts into me.
Right. Does that go back to that self-reflective and observant, just back to square one then again?
It really does. We have to self-identify. It's nothing wrong. And I'm encouraging leaders to even at work. And this also applies to family. It's about communicating with your family when you feel it's necessary and you feel God is leading you to do different things in order to, for a long-term benefit. A lot of people feel guilty. Okay, I've got to work some long hours and maybe some weekends. I said, well, you also have to remember if the Holy Spirit is urging you to do that, that Jesus was unable to be with his mother every weekend or after 5 o'clock every day. And then the disciples were sent out two by two. They didn't see their families and loved ones for quite a while too. So there's nothing in the Bible that states or guarantees that we will be able to do that. But our job is to make sure that all of our family members and all the people we meet are embedded in Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit can always be with them. We cannot. We have to go along with our kingdom mission and move along with that. But, you know, we're here to show the compassion and and be passionate toward people just like Jesus is to us and God is to us.
Amen. I love that. Dr. Maddox, when you think of leaders in the Bible, who are your favorites? Who do you try to model your leadership after?
That's a good question. There are so many great ones who've had some great opportunities to walk with God before other things have happened. But, you know, David just resonates with me, King David, because he just chased after God's heart. And man is faulty. We live in a fallen world. We will fall, but it's our responsibility to get back up and get back on a righteous pathway, just like David did. But, you know, David ruled the way his rulership was, and I particularly like Joseph as well, because Joseph was a great example of relationship building. Joseph started within his family, and his brothers didn't understand him. Sometimes his father didn't understand him. But even after he got thrown into the pit and sold, he had to build relationships even while in the dungeon, you know, in the palace. He had to build a relationship even as he was appointed second in command over Egypt. It was important for him to be versatile. We call it cultural agility, be agile in all diverse situations and build those relationships. It's about offering ourselves in service to others. It goes into the servant leadership.
Why do we find ourselves so often just trying to do things our own way, get ahead of God, just maybe cram down, micromanage, not treat people the way that God wants us to treat them.
Mm-hmm. That comes up a lot in sessions as well. I hear leaders, well, I'm just trying to protect my work. I'm trying to protect my team. And yeah. I have to ask, what are you protecting them from? Sure. Because you are self-sabotaging and mm-hmm. you are doing them more harm by protecting them when you can't always be there with them. So what happens when they do have to leave you and they don't know how to navigate through these situations? Our job as leaders is to make sure that we are developing them so that they can work independently and know how to navigate through these situations, whether we are there next to them or not.
I think we can learn a lot too, Dr. Maddox, from Moses, for instance. He wasn't always with them, and even though they did stray away, his job was to teach them and lead them in the way, and that's what he did. And then I think of Joshua. It's the same thing. He led and was bold and courageous just as God called him to do. If that's what God is calling him to do, then that's our responsibility and that's our job, and we can kind of just leave the rest up to him.
Great example, Wyatt. Absolutely, because the nation of Israel continued to grow. It was growing exponentially, and it took Moses' father-in-law to say, hey, you can't do all of this. You can't hear all these cases and judge all these people. Appoint a council of elders. We will help you. It goes into teaming. There is no one leader that can do it all. You need a great team. You need, they say, have your personal board of directors, have your personal board of prayer intercessors. That's even more powerful than anything that you can get. Have people praying with you and, helping you through, and pray with others to pray them through. It's about the teaming.
I love that. Personal board of directors too. Wyatt and I are pointing at each other right now. I read a book and have a personal board of directors, and that has been an absolute game changer to stretch me, challenge me, help me see some blind spots, to help me grow. I would highly recommend a personal board of directors. And for those of that are listening to Faith Radio this afternoon that have never heard of what personal board of directors is, Dr. Maddox, would you share about that?
Sure. And I'm so glad that you're finding that to be a fruitful experience for you, just as I am as well. Yes, a personal board of directors is finding those persons that can pour, who are willing to pour into you, who are mentors, who are advocates, who will go and share their experiences with you to help you develop and grow into what God is calling you to be. And we all need that. Just like coaches have coaches, we pay coaches to coach us. No one has all the answers, but we want to be able to be assured that we have the right people around us on our teams so that we all can, kind of encourage one another. We all can challenge one another. It's about the iron sharpening the iron.
Mm. Amen. And I would say, as you build your own personal board of directors, do it without fear. Ask whoever that you want to be on your personal board of directors, somebody that you look up to in the faith. And it is an unbelievable honor to be asked to be on somebody's personal board of directors. And nobody's ever said no to me. And everybody has given their all. It has been one of the greatest gifts that I've been given in leadership is a personal board of directors. So thank you for bringing that up, Dr. Maddox. Before we go, I know we have just a couple of minutes here on Faith Radio. As we leave, and I know life is busy, and I know life can be chaotic at times, and we can be under intense pressure at times, how do you maintain a strong connection to your faithful leadership, your faith in Jesus in your leadership when you encounter some of those situations?
That comes up a lot as well, because a lot of people are under a lot of pressures, not just from the office, but you've got different life cycle of issues going on, whether it is raising a new family, whether it's elder care, it's a myriad of things. But one thing is for certain, when we begin our day in communion with our Father, that is our daily bread that we speak about in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread is that download we get from him that day. There is nothing that will happen in our lives that he has not already prepared for and has an answer to. This is not a surprise to him. He's waiting for us to come and commune with him so that he can tell us how to navigate through it. So once we place him first, instead of what me and others have done as well throughout our lives, we try to fit God into the day. Whenever we have a minute, if we have a minute, no, I start my day with him and fit everything else around it. And he redeems the time. He moves and shifts things wherever they need to be when I start my day with him and make him the focus and the priority.
God is so good. And we are grateful for this time that we got to spend with you today. Dr. Paula Maddox, Think Globally, Lead Strategically. It's a Christian guide to building effective leaders. You can reach out to her as well at preparetoshift.com. That's prepare, the number two, shift.com. Dr. Maddox, we are grateful. Thank you.
Thank you for this time with the two of you. I appreciate it so very much.
Absolutely. We did too. You're listening to Faith Radio, connecting faith to life at myfaithradio.com and the free Faith Radio app. Are you ready to be challenged? Sometimes being challenged isn't necessarily the most fun, but as a Christian, I love being challenged, especially when it comes to my misconceptions. And maybe your misconceptions have clouded your view of God. Replacing them with a clear understanding of his true nature is what you're praying for. It's what I'm praying for and hoping for. Hi, I'm Ben. This is Faith Radio. And our guest this afternoon is Rabbi Kurt Schneider. He's written this book called To Know Him by Name. Discover the power and the promises revealed in Hebrew names and titles of God. And Rabbi Schneider, welcome to Faith Radio. I don't speak Hebrew, so I'm so anxious to be able to learn some of these names and what they mean and have a clearer and better view and vision of God our Father.
Brother, God bless you. So good to be with you today, Ben. And listen, mastering the Hebrew language, it's massive. And so I don't claim to be an expert in Hebrew, but I do know some Hebrew. So I try to focus on what I know, but I certainly don't want to misrepresent myself and claim to be an expert, because I'm certainly not. But I do know what I'm talking about in relationship to what we'll be talking about today.
Right. This book is going to help us no longer see God. If you see him as a harsh judge, but a loving and compassionate father who deserves the very best for you. And so why are these names in Hebrew, why are they so important for us to know? I mean, we're going to talk about it for the next 25 minutes, Rabbi. Why is this conversation, this book, and the Hebrew names so important?
Well, I think it's huge, because if we don't have a familiarity with the Hebrew scriptures, with the Old Testament, we really miss a lot, not only about who God is, but also in the ways that he operates. And so by studying the revelation that's contained in his Hebrew names throughout the Tanakh, which Christians call the Old Testament and Jews call the Tanakh, we just get it. We just get revelation. Jesus said in Matthew 13, he said, every scribe, and a scribe was someone, Ben, that made copies of the Torah. So Yeshua said, every scribe that becomes a disciple of mine will be like the owner of a mansion that's able to bring forth treasures, old and new. And so Yeshua is speaking here about the depth of revelation, not only in the New Testament scriptures, absolutely, 100%, but also in the Hebrew scriptures. The apostles, all they had was the Hebrew scriptures. So as it relates to the Hebrew scriptures and the names that the Lord has revealed himself to throughout, it adds just a richness, a depth that helps us fall deeper in love with God. It roots us in our confidence and who he wants to be to us. So I just think it's a massive input for believers, Christian, Gentile believers, and Jewish believers to have comprehension about the names through which the Lord has revealed himself through.
Mm. Rabbi Schneider's on Faith Radio, and again, I don't speak Hebrew, and I know that there are probably the majority of people listening to Faith Radio this afternoon that don't speak Hebrew, and so thank you for your patience, and thank you for your grace in some of these questions that I ask. When you mentioned the word Yeshua, mm-hmm. Messiah's Hebrew name, is that Hebrew for Jesus or Messiah?
Yes, I think yeah. I think it's important, because remember, before Yeshua was born, the angel appeared to his parents and said, you shall call his name. Now, the church would say Jesus. And then the scripture goes on to say, the angel said, for he shall save his people from their sins. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is what the angel revealed to Mary and Joseph before Yeshua was born. But the actual Hebrew name, what was actually spoken to Joseph and Mary, was Yahshua. Yeshua. So the Yah is an abbreviated form of God's covenant memorial name, which he revealed to Moses, Yahweh, composed of the four Hebrew letters, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, sometimes referred to as the Tetragrammaton. So when we say Yeshua, The Yah comes from Yahweh, and Shua means salvation or saves. So when we say Yahshua, what we're actually saying is Yahweh saves, and that's why we call his name Jesus, for Yahweh saves. Yahshua is actually the Hebrew again, Yah saves.
Hmm. Isn't language so interesting? I'm just trying to hang on and listen, because this is this can be a lot. If you're going through the same thing, if you're listening to Faith Radio in your car and life is busy and you're like, this might not be for me because this is over my head, I promise you it's not. Rabbi Kurt Schneider is our guest to know him by name, to discover the power and the promises revealed in the Hebrew names and the titles of God. So let's start here at the basics, because is the Hebrew way of saying God, is it El?
Well, actually, yes and no. The word El, it means God. What's interesting is that some of the pagan religions also refer to their God as El back in the days that the Hebrew scriptures were written. So when we read in Bereshit, which is the Hebrew word for beginnings, Genesis, when we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, the actual Hebrew there in the Torah is in the beginning Elohim. The English says God, but the Hebrew says Elohim. Now, remember I said that even some of the pagan nations refer to their God as El. But in the creation story, he's not just El, he's Elohim. So what's the difference? When you add im onto the end of a singular Hebrew word, that singular Hebrew word becomes plural. So Elohim is God plural, which is really interesting when you think about the fact that as the text continues in Bereshit or Genesis 1, the Lord is speaking there, and the Lord says, let us, think about that word us, the Lord said, let us create man in our image. So who is the us? Let us, he said, make man in our image. So the traditional rabbis would say he was speaking to the angels, but that doesn't make any sense, because we're not created in the image of angels. The Lord said, let us make man in our image. We're created in the image of God. And so the Lord was actually revealing there the relationship, and this is really big, that he has been within himself. There's relationship in the Godhead. So the Lord said, let us make man in our image. Now you think about that in relationship to the revelation we have in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. Yeshua, Jesus, is in the bosom of the Father. The scripture tells us that Yeshua is in the bosom of the Father. He's always been. God is love, and in order for God to be loved, there has to be somebody to love. So from eternity past, we know that eternity is outside of time. The Son has always been in the bosom of the Father, and the Son is the object of his love. So the Lord is multidimensional, and he is relationship, and the relationship is within himself.
Rabbi Schneider, this is Wyatt Show's producer. I'm curious, did they know any of this back during Jesus' ministry, or are we blessed to have knowledge that they maybe didn't have back then?
Well, I don't think, Wyatt, the revelation of the Lord having a multidimensional nature or having a relationship within himself was common revelation, because the Judaism it has a declaration called the Shema. You've probably heard of it. It's Judaism's most famous faith declaration. Orthodox Jewish men endeavor to die saying it. And the Shema says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And so to Jewish people, when we start talking about God being Father, Son, and Spirit, that is to them anathema. Because when they look at that Hebrew word, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," they feel like God is a singular unity. Whereas we're saying, no, God is one. There's only one God, but he's not a singular unity. It's a compound unity. There's relationship in himself within the Godhead, his Father, Son, and Spirit. And they're persons that relate with each other, even though there's one God. So Judaism does not understand this. And in fact, that will be the first reason a Jew will tell you they don't believe in Jesus, because they only believe in one God. But here's what's interesting, Wyatt. The faith declaration from the book of Deuteronomy, the Shema in Hebrew, says, "Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai," now get this next word, "Echad." The word Echad is the word that the scriptures translate as one. But the Hebrew word echad, which Jewish people base everything on, I'm talking about traditional Jews, that you can't have Father, Son, and Spirit because God is one. But that word that's actually used there, echad, does not necessarily refer to a singular unity. For example, we read in the Torah that when a man got married, he left his father and mother, cleave to his wife. A man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. But the word one there in the Hebrew is actually echad. So you have two becoming one. It's a compound unity. And there are other illustrations like this as well. And so the question that I think is troubling for many, both believers and unbelievers, well, how can God be Father, Son, and Spirit? How, you know, it does sound like there's three gods, but here's the thing. Can we understand where God came from? It's impossible because he didn't come from anywhere. And our mind can't grasp that. Well, what do you mean he doesn't come from? How could he have always been? I mean, we can only think in terms of cause and effect, that he had to come from somewhere. We can't grasp. It's impossible for us to grasp the fact that God is self-existent and he's always been. And in the same way that we humbly recognize that we accept by faith that God is self-existent, he's always been and he didn't come from anywhere, in that same vein, we are able to say, I believe that God is multidimensional, that he's a compound unity, that there's relationship within himself. We don't understand how God is one, and yet is revealed in the Son of Father, Son, and Spirit, each with distinct personalities. The Father has a relationship with the Son that's unique. I mean, the Son, Jesus prayed to the Father. They were like two persons, but they're one God. So in the same way that we can't comprehend how God came from nowhere, we also can't understand how God is one God, and yet within him exist the three persons of Father, Son, and Spirit.
Rabbi Kurt Schneider, I'm listening, and I'm grateful for how you're so passionate and teaching us as we grow in our understanding of the Bible, and particularly the power and the promises revealed in the Hebrew names and the titles of God. We will continue that here in just a couple of 90 seconds, really. So we've learned that Elohim is the Creator, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've learned that Yeshua is Messiah's Hebrew name. You've probably heard Yahweh. You've heard Rabbi Schneider talk about that. I'm sure you've heard Shiloh, maybe Adonai. We'll continue to talk about those terms from the Hebrew Bible, why it's so important, and to help you understand, to get rid of some of those misconceptions that have clouded your view of God, to replace them with the understanding of his true nature, so you don't see him as a harsh judge, but as a loving, compassionate father who desires the very best for you. This is Faith Radio.
Receive a daily email featuring a scripture graphic. Sign up for this first of the day email at myfaithradio.com.
Holy God, thank you for this opportunity to be in communication and community with people that are listening to Faith Radio right now, and for Wyatt, myself, and Rabbi Schneider, who are having this conversation today about your names, about the way you've revealed yourself in the Bible. And as we look at the Hebrew names and your titles, help us to understand, help our minds to be open and our hearts to be open so that we can experience you in the most real and powerful ways. And as Rabbi Schneider speaks and speaks in Hebrew at times in different language, help it to slow down in my mind and in my heart about why this is so important. Reveal yourself to us, God, through this conversation. We are grateful for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the reason that I prayed, Rabbi Schneider, is because for the last 15 minutes, I'm listening going, this is really good, but I know my life is busy, and I seek after God, but why do I need to know a completely different language? In your book, To Know Him by Name, Yahweh, Discover the Power and Promises Revealed in the Hebrew Names and Titles of God. My name is Ben, by the way. I'm here with Wyatt, and this is Faith Radio. Rabbi Kurt Schneider is talking to us about the names of God. But why is it important? I Wyatt asked a great question during the break, and I bet that there are people listening right now just going, why do I need to know this? Why is this important?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it grounds us. I think having our roots in Scripture go deep into the roots of what Christians call the Old Testament, as I mentioned in the first segment, what Jewish people call the Nach. It grounds us. I mean, I just think there are so many Christians today that deep down inside, Ben Wyatt, they don't believe that Jesus, Yeshua, is the only pathway to God. But when you're grounded in the Hebrew Bible, you know that Jesus, Yeshua, is the only way to God because you understand how important blood has been from the inception of Israel as a nation. It's only through the shedding of blood that Israel was delivered out of Egypt. It was only through the shedding of blood that they were able to have forgiveness on Yom Kippur, which some people know as the Day of Atonement. When they came to the tabernacle in the temple, they had to come with a blood sacrifice. The scripture says in Leviticus 17:11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood, saith the Lord, and I've given it to you on the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it's the blood, saith the Lord, by reason of its life that makes atonement. That's Leviticus 17:11. So the same thing is true when you understand the revelation that God has given us concerning his person through the revelation of his names. And that's what my book, To Know Him by Name, is about. And it's not complicated. I mean, I'm a very simple person. If I'm thankful about one thing about my ministry is I think people can understand me. You know, I'm not talking over anybody's head. So in my book, To Know Him by Name, what I do is I focus on the different titles of the Lord, which we covered in the first section, which was Elohim. That's kind of a title, God Almighty, El Shaddai, God Almighty. But then the Lord revealed to Moses his covenant memorial name. It's given in Exodus 3 and Exodus 6. And the Lord said to Moses, your forefathers, Moshe, Moses, knew me as El Shaddai, as God Almighty. But by my name, and then the Lord breathed his name, Yahweh, they did not know me. This is my memorial name forever. And it's used about 7,000 times in the Old Testament. So God has a name. Is the Father of the Lord Jesus, the Father of Yeshua, our Savior. He has a name. You know, Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to, listen now, the Father, but through me. And the Father has a name. And his name is composed of the four Hebrew letters, Yud, He, Vav, He. And most Semitic scholars believe it's pronounced a breathy Yahweh. And so what happens is after the Lord reveals his covenant name, then he reveals his covenant name in connection with what he does for his people. And so the Lord is revealed, first of all, in relationship to what he did for Abraham when he provided a ram. And the revelation of God's name there is Yahweh Yireh, which most people pronounce Jehovah Jireh, which is not correct. But Yahweh Yireh, the Lord provides. So just when you know that the Lord reveals himself this way, it helps us to realize that God is our source. And it helps us to build our faith and to choose trusting him to be our provision.
Rabbi Schneider, it's so funny that, and correct me, because you just said that it's not said Jehovah Jireh. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's true.
But I was literally looking that up when you said the word, because we hear people praying Jehovah Jireh. And so as we understand these names in the Hebrew Bible, can you remind me again what that means and how to say it correctly?
Okay. So this is really interesting. So how do we get the word, how do we get from Yahweh to Jehovah? Two ways. Number one, what happened is the ancient scribes began to put what we call accent markings over the wrong places of the Hebrew consonants. And the reason that they did that is when they started to record God's name, and they put, see, in Hebrew, let me back up. In Hebrew, we don't have letters that are vowels. We only have consonants. So how do you know the way the consonants are pronounced? For example, if you had the letter B as in boy and T as in Tom, and you just saw BT, how would you know how that was pronounced? Is it bit, bat, but? You need a vowel to know how the B and the T are strung together. So in Hebrew, they don't have vowels to let you know how the consonants are strung together. So first of all, people knew just because they heard orally how the word was said. But then later the scribes added accent markings over the consonants, and the accent markings were vowel sounds. And so that helped the reader understand how the word was pronounced. But the scribes, to cover up the way that God's name was pronounced, because they didn't want the pagans to know how God's name was pronounced, they were concerned that if the pagans realized how to say God's name, they would blaspheme it. So they put again the wrong accent, they put the accent markings over the wrong places. So that's the first thing that happened to lead us to this wrong translation of God's name. And the second thing is that over time, language morphs and the Hebrew yus sound began to be pronounced in English as a J sound. So, for example, Ben White, if you drive into Jerusalem today, as you're entering the city, you'll see the big sign. It'll say Jerusalem in English, but underneath is the Hebrew. And when you read the Hebrew, it's pronounced Yerushalayim with a yus sound. So those two reasons, accent markings in wrong places, the language morphed, so people began to pronounce the yes sound as a J sound, so we get Jehovah Jireh, and you may have heard that song before, There is no God like Jehovah, and it's true, there is no God like Jehovah, because there is no God named Jehovah.
It's Jehovah.
Yeah, that's another thing, is that the V sound, Yud Heh Vav Heh, the va sound, it was actually a wa. It was a wa sound. But over time, most Semitic language scholars believe that the wa sound, Yahweh, weh, there's the wa sound, was morphed into a va sound. Some people would pronounce it Yehovah, but most Semitic scholars believe it's pronounced a breathy Yahweh.
Rabbi Kurt Schneider. He's the author of the book, To Know Him by Name, Discover the Power and Promises Revealed in the Hebrew Names and the Titles of God. And you can get this anywhere you can find books, I'm sure, Rabbi, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, Amazon's a great place. My website, Discovering the Jewish Jesus, is also another place it could be found.
Okay. Some of the other names that, as I'm going through this book here, that seem the most common, that I think the most people know, are Shiloh and Adonai. Am I saying those correctly?
Yes, you are. So Adonai it simply means Lord, and it's used in Scripture not only to apply to God, but it's even used in Scripture at times to apply to an earthly master. Now, how do we get that term Adonai? Where does that come from? Jewish people feel that God's covenant name, Yud Heh Vav Heh, Yahweh, is so sacred. I mean, this warped over time. Again, in the Hebrew Bible, in the original Scripture, from the time that the Lord revealed it to Moses, everybody after him used God's name, Yahweh, okay? But Judaism came to a place in their history where they said, you know, we can't even say God's name out loud. Same reason, the pagans might hear it. It might be used in a blasphemous way. So rather than saying God's name, they instead say Adonai. And Adonai just means Lord. But again, Adonai is not only a word for God as master, Lord, master it means, but it was also even applied in Scripture to, to Jewish masters. But I think these are titles. I think the best thing that we can do right now, Ben White, is go just a little bit deeper in how Yahweh revealed himself to his people in showing them what he will do for those that are in covenant relationship with him. So, for example, in the script, in Exodus chapter 15, the children of Israel were sick because they were drinking poisoned waters at a place called Marah. And the Lord called upon Moses called upon the Lord, and the Lord showed up and he cleansed the waters of the poison. They were bitter, it speaks of in Scripture. They were polluted waters that were making Israel sick. The Lord showed up, cleansed the waters, healed, brought healing to his people, and then he revealed himself as Yahweh Rafecha, or Yahweh Rapha. And that means, I am the Lord, your healer. And I love that because, you know, we know through the life of Yeshua, of Jesus, that every place he went, he did three things. He healed the sick, he drove out demonic spirits, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He healed the sick, he drove out the demons, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And we take it for granted, yeah, Jesus healed the sick people, you know, when they were on earth, but, you know, we kind of don't look to the Lord oftentimes to be our healer. And it's interesting, I'm not saying we shouldn't go to doctors, because the Lord told Moses, take a hyssop branch and put that hyssop branch in the water, And when Moses took the hyssop branch in Exodus 15 and put it in the water, the Lord cleansed the water. So it's interesting there, Ben White, that the Lord used an agent. He healed the waters, but he did it through the hyssop branch. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't see doctors. God can use agents, whether it's a medicine, whether it's a natural physician. But at the end of the day, he is our healer.
Absolutely. Rabbi Kurt Schneider, I hate to cut you off, but we're to the end of the show. This is Faith Radio.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.